Bibles tonight, turn over to 1 John. 1 John. And we're going to look at some things out of the Word of God tonight. I've had some thoughts on my mind lately about the world and its wooing, the flesh and its weakness, the devil and his wickedness. And as I got to studying it, I thought, well, this thing's going to be way too big, so I decided to just deal with the world tonight and give you some thoughts. That song really kind of goes along with my thoughts tonight and the message tonight. This world's not our home. And I hope you realize that you're not going to stay here. You're going somewhere one of these days. And that time that you leave this world is determined by God. It has nothing to do with age, in a sense, because man has an appointed time that he's going to leave this flesh and going to go out and meet God. And so I want to talk a little bit tonight about our battles with the world. And living in this world today, we're either caught up in the things of the world, we're worldly, or we're spiritual. And God would have us to be spiritual Christians tonight. In John chapter number, in 1 John chapter number 2, I'll read these verses as a text. Verse number 15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." God draws a line in the sand right there, doesn't he? He makes it real plain right here that we're not to put the world before him. God is a jealous God. And if we're a child of God, we ought to be in love with our God. Amen. There's a lot of people in love with football teams today and various things of this old world to a place to where it becomes their God. But our God is the one that gave us life and breath and the ability to walk in these doors here tonight. We ought to be the most thankful people in the world that God has put food on our table and a roof over our head, shoes on our feet, give us a good church to go to, a good pastor and good brothers and sisters, and we ought to be a happy people and a thankful people, shouldn't we? Amen. So I'm talking about the world tonight and some battles that we have in this old world. Can I tell you something about worldliness? Something we have to guard ourselves against is worldliness. If we're consumed with worldliness, if we become a worldly Christian, then our light gets mighty dim. Amen? And I'm afraid in the day and age that we live, worldliness has crept into a lot of churches and taken the church over. Amen? Amen. These churches today, I tell you, if somebody blindfolded you and took you into some of the churches today and set you down and not told you where you was at, when they started playing the music, you'd think you was in a honky-tonk or at a rock concert or something like that. Amen. And a man gets up with a message right here with an ear-tickling fable, and you wouldn't know anything in the world about the Word of God. Amen. That's the day and age that we live in. And that worship has turned into entertainment. Amen. But let me tell you, there's still one way to God, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And Him crucified. And that's what needs to be preached. Hey, out of every pulpit in this country in the day and age that we live, warning people, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. We need to hear more of that in the day and age that we live. Christians, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're different. We're peculiar people. We're supposed to be peculiar. We're supposed to be different. And we're supposed to be a separated people. Now, I'm not saying that we got to put mule blinders on us as we go through this life. God has given us so much in this old world today. He wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to be a happy people. And we ought to be happy. God has blessed us so good. And I'm afraid, though, sometimes we get blessed with the things of the world and we become worldly through it. We forget about the blesser and just, we're too focused on the blessings that He's given us. Amen. It's easy to do. Easy to do. Now I'm preaching to myself tonight. Amen. I have to guard myself and realize every day, I tell you what'll do you good every day. If you'll fall on your face and realize that you need to thank God for what He's done for you. You may say, well, I had a rough day today. Well, you ain't in hell, are you? Amen. If you're saved, you're saved eternally. And we got something to be thankful for on the worst day of our life. God has been good to us. And be careful tonight with this thing called worldliness creeping into your life. The church is to be a holy place. Hey, we're to be a holy people. Right. Amen. Now, let's talk, first of all, there's three things I want to bring out to you tonight. The wooing of the world, the war with the world, and the warning about the world. Now, listen to the Word of God. We'll turn several different places probably before we're through with this message tonight. But this wooing of the world, the attractions of this old world right here, we got a problem with the lust of the flesh. We've got a problem with the lust of the eyes. We've got a problem with the pride of life. That's what the Scripture tells us right here. God warns us about these things and about how we're to conduct our lives. We're attracted to things of this old world. Our flesh can be wicked. Amen. And let me tell you something. In the day and age in which we live, you know, I got to thinking as I studied this, you know, our forefathers, they didn't have all the things that we've got in the world to distract us and to attract us to the things of the world. We've got television. Television has become a wicked device in our homes. Amen. Amen. And used to, you'd sit down at night and watch a good episode of Gunsmoke. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. One of the best shows on TV. I've seen every episode of it, I believe. But now, it's become a more than entertainment. I guess it's become an indoctrinational thing. The world and the wicked things of this world is put in commercials. It's put in just about every program on TV. And it's to get to your children. It's to get to you and to get you more and more at ease with sin and the things of the devil. Amen. It's wanting to get you to compromise on your standards and things. And I'm afraid we've just let the devil creep in slowly, slowly, little bit by little bit. And now it's amazing. It's amazing to me how wicked this world has become. Amen. I'm talking about wickedness in high places. I'm talking about people that's supposed to be leading this country in the right paths. Have taken the things of the devil in, the abominations that God has said in this book right here. Now they're promoting it, and they're accepting it, and they're pushing it on these little old kids around our country in the day and age that we live. And so, the wooing of the world, we got our attractions of the flesh and of the eyes and the pride of life and our affections. Affections. We're human. It's easy for us to get attached to the things of this old world. But look what the Bible says in Colossians right here. If you've got your Bibles, Colossians chapter number 3. He says this right here. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Listen to this. Now set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. The Bible tells us that we have to guard our heart with all diligence. Our flesh will quickly fall in love with the things of the world. And God is, like I said, God's a jealous God. He'll not take second seat to anybody or anything. He has to be first in our lives. And so we're warned right here in the Word of God, we better get our affections in the right place. Amen. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. He's coming again one of these days. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we lived our lives day by day looking for His appearing? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we lived our lives and we could say, I would love for the Lord to come today. Amen. And, you know, that's where God wants us to be. We will need to set our affections on Him. And I know we got to go through this life, but we can still love God. And we can, in this wicked world in which we live today, we can still live right. We can still do right. And act right. And if we'll get this Word of God in us and live by it, then we can live a life pleasing to God. Amen. All right, let's talk about some more things right here in this wooing of the world. The temptations. Let's talk about temptations just for a minute. In the book of James right here. James. Chapter number 1. Notice what your Bible says right here. Let's sketch verse number 27 in James 1. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and keep himself unspotted from the world. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's a job within itself, isn't it? But it's the job for me to keep myself unspotted from the world. If you're a child of God, God has given you that responsibility. Now, so it's up to me. If I see myself being enticed by the things of this world, by something that's not pleasing to God, God said it's my responsibility to keep myself unspotted. And also, not only is it my responsibility, God has given me of His Spirit to caution me. Have you ever been tempted to go out and do something wrong and the Holy Ghost tells you no? No. And through your bullhead you go on and do it anyway? And then you have to suffer the chastisement of God. You grieve the Spirit. There's been times in my life when I've been tempted with some little something or some big something and I go on and do it anyway and the Spirit within me, It's a grief. You feel it immediately. You know you've done wrong. The Spirit of God lets you know you're wrong. And at that time, if you'll confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you because He knows that we are but dust. And we're weak in this flesh that we live in right here. But temptations are going to come. James 1 and 13. Look at this right here. He says, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it's finished, bringeth forth death. That's a strong verse, isn't it? Lust, the flesh, the world, the things this world has to present to you and I, that this flesh will lust after, the flesh lusts after sin. Amen, it does. And so we have to keep ourselves and beware right here of what this verse tells us right here. Death and destruction, heartaches and sorrows. If we don't do something about our lust when we're enticed by to sin and go out and do things that God's not pleased with, we have an option. We have the Holy Ghost to give us a fair warning. A fair warning. We know right from wrong. Amen. We know right from wrong. You ain't got to go ask your preacher, is this right? Listen to the Holy Ghost. He'll tell you. That's what He's come for. To guide us in all truth. Amen. So temptations are something that this world will woo you into temptation and try to get you to come to me. Come to me. And boy, it's easy to do. You have to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Not only the temptation, but I want you to notice the truths about the wooing of this world. The world and its sinfulness. In 1 John 5:19, I use this verse Sunday. John says, the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world lieth in wickedness. And so if we're living within a world everywhere you look nowadays, I think there's more wickedness in this world than there's ever been before. You know, I'd say that. I know it was a wicked place in Noah's day before the flood. And you can study back in Genesis about that. But they didn't have television then. And they didn't have the mass media and things that we've got in this old world now to spread wickedness with. But I want you to think about the day in which we live. This world has become so wicked. And it's come into the church house. It's come into the White House in Washington. And it's come into your house. Might as well just say it. And so we become so surrounded by it and so adjusted to the wicked things of this world till it doesn't embarrass us anymore. Amen. There's no shame anymore. No shame. Those things on TV that'll hit your TV at night that I'd be totally embarrassed if my mom and daddy was there watching with me. I'd sure be embarrassed if one of my grandchildren was there with me. This is a wicked day in which we live right here. But people have become calloused to the shame and of wickedness. There's no fear of God anymore. Amen. If we feared God, we'd do our best to line up with this book. If we feared God like we do it, we'd cut the TV off sometimes. If we feared God like we should, we'd tell our children, no. No. You ain't gonna do it. Amen. So you think about that. The truth is this old world is wicked in its wooing to a child of God and especially to lost people. Let's look at the world's system right here in 1 John. 1 John chapter number 4. I'm talking about the way this world woos us in. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says this, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you've heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So we know that this world system is Antichrist. Antichrist. These politicians, I've noticed something, you know. Used to, when a politician stand up and make a speech, he'd say, at the end of his speech, he'd say, God bless you and God bless America. But I've noticed they've got to where they don't even say that anymore. This world is Antichrist. Washington is Antichrist. You know why they are? A Christian's hard to control. I'm talking about a true Christian. A true Christian is going to stand upon this Word. This Word goes against the world. This Word goes against Washington. And that's why they don't like Christians today. They're afraid we're out of control. And, if we're not Antichrist. We're Christ. We're for Christ. We promote Christ. We stand for Christ. We stand upon the Word of God. And so you might as well expect things to get worse and worse if you're going to be a Christian in the day in which we live. Amen. This world is Antichrist, and they're coming after the church. Might as well get ready for it. The wooing of this world, the temptations, the truth, and the teaching. In Titus 2 and 11, I want you to see something right here. Titus chapter 2, verse number 11, says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness," here it is, "and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." See, we have, he mentions right here, worldly lust. That we should deny ungodliness and worldly lust. The things that war against the soul. The things that draw us away from God right here. We have the light of God's Word. He says right here, "The grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us." Teaching us. We're not in the dark tonight. We have a choice. Right and wrong. Right and wrong. We make those choices every day of our life. We have the light of God's Word. We have the leadership of God's Spirit. And He says that we ought to deny worldly lust. The wooing of the world will draw you away from God. And so beware tonight. Set your affection on things above. Do your best. Do your best. I know we're human. I know we're weak. But we better do our best to stay right with God in the day and hour in which we live. There's a lot of little old kids went down these stairs a while ago into classes. They need somebody to look up to. They need some people that'll stick to the stuff. Amen. They need to see some faithful folks down at the house of God. It'll make a difference in their life. The wooing of the world, the war with the world. Ephesians 6 and 12 says, "We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Did you realize tonight we're in a warfare? We're in a warfare with this world right here. The prince and the power there, the devil, he's a god with a little g of this world right here. And he has a lot of things to offer you. And so, but I want to tell you tonight, we can have victory. We can have victory. But we have to apply the Word of God to our lives. Paul, I won't get into it, but in Ephesians chapter 6, we know what he says about putting on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand and that you might be able to withstand the fiery darts of the devil. But we can have victory. I want you to notice the source of our victory. Back in 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. And verse number 4 says this. I'm talking about the source of our victory. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Not faith in Muhammad, not faith in Buddha, not faith in anything else other than the Lord Jesus Christ. If our faith is in Him, if we're living a life, if we're living by faith, then we can have victory, victory over the world. And that's the only way. And this is the source of our victory. Faith is so important. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It's so important that we as a child of God grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is something that we need to be growing every day of our lives. Your faith ever get weak? Sure it does. So we need to be strengthened in our faith. And coming together to worship God, together around the preaching of the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God, it strengthens us in our faith. If we pray and pray in faith, if we study the Word of God ourselves, and it'll help our faith to grow and strengthen us as we journey through life. The source of our victory is faith. The service in our victory. Notice this right here in the book of Romans, chapter number 12. This is a familiar verse to people that studied their Bible. Romans chapter number 12. Verse number 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm talking about a warfare with this world right here. Now, we're either being transformed from a worldly person or from the things of the world, or we're conforming to the things of the world. Very simple right there. I wonder tonight, where do you stand tonight? Are you being transformed into what God wants you to be? A servant? The things that he mentions right here in these two verses right here has to do with submission, submitting to God, sacrificing, our life and holy living, serving God, living a separated life, a sanctified life. And he mentions this right here by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If I've submitted myself to God, and if I want to be a servant, if I want to serve God, if I want to give Him as much of my life as He wants, and if I'm willing to sacrifice of my time and of my the things in life that God would need, it's my reasonable service, he says. It's reasonable. God's not unreasonable. I tell you what's unreasonable. For us to reject the Lord Jesus Christ when God's given His very best for us, who wasn't worthy of His Son, but He gave Him anyway to redeem us from our sins and from a devil's hell. Our reasonable service is to give Him everything we got. We owe everything to Him. Everything. And so, it's a reasonable thing, our service in victory. If we've got victory in Jesus, then live a victorious life. And to be living a victorious life is a life of service. Sacrifice, submitting myself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Saying, here am I, Lord, send me. Lord, what would you have me to do? Amen. The source of our victory. The service for our victory. And thirdly this, the strength of our victory. Back in 1 John. Back in 1 John, chapter number 2. 1 John, chapter 2. I read this a while ago. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Strength, our strength is in our love for God. God is love. God so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son. And so, what He's saying, these are some strong, strong verses right here. What He's saying right here, you either love the world or you love God. Where do you stand tonight? Are you in love with God? Are you in love with the world? I preached a message one time out of James chapter 4. I like my title. I preached on the subject of married to Christ, but in love with the world. Where James said, you adulterers and adulteresses. Strong verses. Something to think about, though. Something to think about. I'm going to close with this right now. The warning about the world. We see the wooing of the world, the war with the world, then the warning about the world. There's a song that says, "I wouldn't trade heaven for the world." Y'all familiar with that song, ain't you? I wouldn't trade heaven for the world. Well, why not? There was $2 billion on the lottery thing here a couple of weeks ago. I'm sorry y'all lost. What in the world would anybody do with $2 billion? You go crazy when you get an extra $100. How? Here we come, Walmart. See, a $400 gun. I got $100 now. Put the rest of it on my credit card. Warning about the world. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 through verse 19. Let's read something right there right quick. We'll be through here very shortly. Genesis chapter number 3, verse 17. The Bible said, God speaking unto Adam, He says, "Unto Adam, He said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground. For out of it thou wast taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." This world is under a curse. The world, you hear what I'm saying? The world is under a curse today. And, you know, everybody's trying to save the planet right now. That's the big thing in Washington. There's a big, I started to do a message on global warming tonight. The global warming hoax. They got a big clock up yonder in New York on a big building up there for everybody to see. It's counting down. I mean, you can see the seconds clicking off of it. And what it is, in 6 years, this whole world, it's going to be too far gone, they say, if we don't get zero emissions within the next 6 years. Stupid. This world belongs to God. He created it. He spoke it into existence, and He's the one that's going to take it out. Man ain't got no control over it. In the book of Psalms, the Bible says, "The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof." Amen. It's His. And there ain't nothing we can do to take it out of His hands. Amen. Anyway, I got off on a tangent there. But this world is under a curse. It's doomed. So, you know, be careful where you set your affections, because this thing's going to pass away. The world's conclusion in 1 Peter chapter number 3. In 1 Peter chapter number 3. Make that 2 Peter chapter number 3. Verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up." You hear? You hear what he said? This thing's going to burn up one day. And the things that we've set our affections on, and I look back at me when I was a young Christian, and things of this old world that meant so much to me means nothing anymore. In fact, this world don't even seem like my home anymore. Nothing here seems like home to me anymore. I live in a house, but it just really ain't home. I've done come to a place to where I realize that all this is going to be left behind. It's going to pass away one day. So I'm doing my best to set my affections on things above. Getting ready for the Lord to come back or to call me out of this old world. Revelation 21:1, John said, I saw new heavens and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Gone. Going to melt with fervent heat. Warning about the world. It's under a curse. World under a curse, world's conclusion, but the world's choices. Choices. If you study your Bible, there was a man over in Colossians by the name of Demas. He was a follower of Paul. He was a fellow laborer with Paul. But if you go on over into 2 Timothy, Paul said this, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. You hear what he said? He chose the love of the world instead of the love of God. Don't make that choice. I'd hate to know my name was written in the Word of God as forsaking the things of God. Man, I had a chance to walk with the Apostle Paul, be a fellow laborer with him, turn back to the world. Stay faithful, people. Stay faithful. Watch out for this world. We live in an evil day. The whole world lieth in wickedness. And it wants you. And it wants me. And it wants your children especially. And it wants your grandchildren. It's a warfare. Amen. Thank you for your attention tonight.